36. Hero. 24 years ago. Dalinar cursed as smoke billowed out of the fireplace. He shoved his weight against the lever and managed to budge it, reopening the chimney flue. He coughed, backing up and waving smoke away from his face.
"We're going to need to see that replaced,"
Evie said from the sofa where she was doing needlework.
"Yeah,"
Dalinar said, thumping down to the floor before the fire.
"At least you got to it quickly. Today we will not need to scrub the walls, and the life will be as white as a sun at night."
Evie's native idioms didn't quite translate well into Alethi. The fire's heat was welcome, as Dalinar's clothing was still damp from the rains. He tried to ignore the ever-present sound of the weeping's rain outside, instead watching a pair of flamespren dance along one of the logs. These seemed vaguely human, with ever-shifting figures. He followed one with his eyes as it leaped toward the other. He heard Evie rise and thought she might be off to seek the privy again. She instead settled down next to him and took his arm, then sighed in contentment.
"It can't be comfortable," Dalinar said.
"And yet you are doing it?"
"I'm not the one who is..."
He looked at her belly, which had begun to round. Evie smiled.
"My condition does not make me so frail that I risk breaking by sitting on the floor, beloved."
She pulled his arm tighter.
"Look at them. They play so eagerly."
"It's like they're sparring," Dalinar said. "I can almost see the little blades in their hands."
"Must everything be fighting to you?"
He shrugged. She leaned her head on his arm.
"Can't you just enjoy it, Dalinar?"
"Enjoy what?"
"Your life. You went through so much to make this kingdom. Can't you be satisfied now that you've won?"
He stood up, pulling his arm from her grip, and crossed the chamber to pour himself a drink.
"Don't think I haven't noticed the way you act," Evie said, "perking up whenever the king speaks of the smallest conflict beyond our borders, having the scribes read to you of great battles, always talking about the next duel."
"I'm not to have that much longer," Dalinar grumbled, then took a sip of wine. "Gavilar says it's foolish to endanger myself. Says someone is bound to try to use one of those duels as a ploy against him. I'll have to get a champion."
He stared at his wine. He'd never had a high opinion of dueling. It was too fake, too sanitized. But at least it was something.
"It's like you're dead," Evie said.
Dalinar looked over at her.
"It's like you only live when you can fight," she continued. "When you can kill. Like a blackness from old stories. You live only by taking lives from others."
With that pale hair and light golden skin, she was like a glowing gemstone. She was a sweet, loving woman who deserved better than the treatment he gave her. He forced himself to go back and sit down beside her.
"I still think the flamespren are playing," she said.
"I've always wondered," Dalinar said. "Are they made of fire themselves? It looks like they are. And yet what of emotion spren? Are anger spren then made of anger?"
Evie nodded absently.
"And what of glory spren?" Dalinar said. "Made of glory? What is glory? Could glory spren appear around someone who is delusional or perhaps very drunk? Who only thinks they've accomplished something great, while everyone else is standing around mocking them?"
"A mystery," she said, "sent by Shishi."
"But don't you ever wonder?"
"To what end?" Evie said. "We will know eventually, when we return to the One. No use troubling our minds now about things we cannot understand."
Dalinar narrowed his eyes at the flamespren. That one did have a sword. A miniature shard blade.
"This is why you brood so often, husband," Evie said. "It isn't healthy to have a stone curdling in your stomach, still wet with moss."
"I... what?"
"You must not think such strange thoughts. Who put such things into your mind anyway?"
He shrugged, but thought of two nights before, staying up late and drinking wine beneath the rain canopy with Gavilar and Navani.
She'd talked and talked about her research into Spren, and Gavilar had simply grunted while making notations in glyphs on a set of his maps. She'd spoken with such passion and excitement, and Gavilar had ignored her.
"Enjoy the moment," Evie told him. "Close your eyes and contemplate what the One has given you. Seek the peace of oblivion, and bask in the joy of your own sensation."
He closed his eyes, as she suggested, and tried to simply enjoy being here with her.
"Can a man actually change, Evie? Like those Spren change?"
"We are all different aspects of the One."
"Then can you change from one aspect to another?"
"Of course," Evie said. "Is not your own doctrine about transformation? About a man being soul cast from crass to glorious?"
"I don't know if it's working."
"Then petition the One," she said.
"In prayer? Through the Ardents?"
"No, silly. Yourself."
"In person?" Dalinar asked. "Like at a temple?"
"If you wish to meet the One in person, you must travel to the valley," she said. "There you can speak with the One, or to his avatar, and be granted—"
"The old magic," Dalinar hissed, opening his eyes. "A night watcher. Evie, don't say things like that."
Storms, her pagan heritage popped up at the strangest times. She could be talking good Boren doctrine, then out came something like that. Fortunately, she spoke of it no more. She closed her eyes and hummed softly. Finally, a knock came at the outer door to his rooms. Hothan, his room steward, would answer that. Indeed, Dalinar heard the man's voice outside, and that was followed by a light rap on the chamber door.
"It's your brother, Brightlord," Hothan said through the door.
Dalinar leaped, opening the door and passing the short master servant. Evie followed, trailing along with one hand touching the wall, a habit of hers. They passed open windows that looked down upon a sodden Kolinar, flickering lanterns marking where people moved through the streets. Gavilar waited in the sitting room, dressed in one of those new suits with the stiff jacket and buttons up the sides of the chest. His dark hair curled to his shoulders and was matched by a fine beard. Dalinar hated beards. They got caught in your helm. He couldn't deny its effect on Gavilar, though. Looking at Gavilar in his finery, one didn't see a backwater thug, a barely civilized warlord who had crushed and conquered his way to the throne. No, this man was a king. Gavilar wrapped a set of papers against the palm of his hand.
"What?"
Dalinar asked.
"Rathalas," Gavilar said, shoving the papers toward Evie as she entered.
"Again?" Dalinar said. It had been years since he'd visited the Rift, that giant trench where he'd won his shard blade.
"They're demanding your blade back," Gavilar said. "They claim that Tanelon's heir has returned and deserves the shard as you never won it in a true contest."
Dalinar felt cold.
"Now I know this to be patently false," Gavilar said, "because when we fought at Rathalas all those years ago, you said you dealt with the heir. You did deal with the heir, did you not, Dalinar?"
He remembered that day. He remembered darkening that doorway, the thrill pulsing inside him. He remembered a weeping child holding a shard blade, the father lying broken and dead behind. That soft voice, pleading. The thrill had vanished in a moment.
"He was a child, Gavilar,"
Dalinar said, his voice hoarse.
"Damnation," Gavilar said. "He's a descendant of the old regime. That was... Storms, that was a decade ago. He's old enough to be a threat. The whole city is going into rebellion, the entire region. If we don't act, the whole Crownlands could break off."
Dalinar smiled. The emotion shocked him, and he quickly stifled the grin.
"But surely, surely someone would need to go and rout the rebels?"
He turned and caught sight of Evie. She was beaming at him, though he'd have expected her to be indignant at the idea of more wars. Instead, she stepped up to him and took his arm.
"You spared the child."
"I... He could barely lift the blade. I gave him to his mother and told her to hide him.
Oh, Dalinar.
She pulled him close. He felt a swelling of pride. Ridiculous, of course. He had endangered the kingdom. How would people react if they knew the Blackthorn himself had broken before a crisis of conscience? They'd laugh. In that moment, he didn't care, so long as he could be a hero to this woman.
Well, I suppose rebellion was to be expected, Gavilar said as he stared out the window. It's been years since the formal unification. People are going to start asserting their independence.
He raised his hand toward Dalinar, turning.
I know what you want, brother, but you'll have to forbear. I'm not sending an army, but I can nip this thing with politics. We can't have a show of force be our only method of maintaining unity, or Elokar will spend his entire life putting out fires after I'm gone. We need people to start thinking of Alethkar as a unified kingdom, not separate regions always looking for an advantage against one another.
Sounds good, Dalinar said. It wasn't going to happen, not without the sword to remind them. For once, however, he was fine not being the one to point that out.